comes, and I don't think he's any kin to Fred Russell. Amen. He don't look like him, and that might be a good thing. I don't know, but I'll let you get hooked up there if you will, please, sir. I got you on, and you're ready to go. So
don't y'all scare him too bad. All right?
I scare easy.
You do scare easy. I was going to say, you done preached Brother Bill, so all the scare is gone.
My pastor's rubbing off on me. He gets, he's scared.
His pastor, Brother Jamie Burks, and they're down, well, American Georgia. He said Brother Jamie's up in Knoxville right now.
Yes,
Knoxville,
sir. Yes, sir.
Family, so
yes, sir.
They just all run off.
Yes, sir. We are all over the place. Thank
you,
preacher.
We're thankful that you're here.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. Thank you, church, for having us tonight. As he said, preached over at Brother Bill's this morning. Had a great service there. And thankful for another opportunity here tonight. We'll be in the book of Exodus tonight. Book of Exodus, chapter number 24. As he's already told you, I'm Brother Kurt Russell, Brother James Burke out of Lighthouse. That's my pastor. It's confusing because the address says Plains, Georgia, but it's right in the middle of Plains in Americas, and it seems to be in Americas, and everybody says it's in America. So anyway, that's where it seems to lie, is in Americas. But it's good to have my family with me this evening. And brothers, you were up here kind of testified on that song. I was reminded about when I was being dealt with on the call to preach. And I was at work. We were working. I worked construction for my dad, and we were working for a farmer building, I think his dad, a house out there on the land. And man, I had to slip off behind the tool trailer because I was just in tears, because I looked out in the fields. It was harvest season for cotton. And I looked out, and those fields were just white, ready for harvest. And God pricked my heart. I was already being dealt with for the call to preach. And then I go out there, and I look out there, and it's like God just hit me with a brick, if you will, and said, those fields are white and ready to harvest. And that was just one more little thing that God kind of did for me during that struggle of that call. But I'm so thankful for the call and for the opportunity. Again, thank you, Pastor, for having me tonight. We're going to be looking again at Exodus chapter number 24. If I didn't tell you the chapter there, it'd be chapter number 24. And I've taken course on the tabernacle in the wilderness and a Bible college online, and it's been a great study. And so I begin to kind of go back to look at that, but this is the chapter just prior to where we see the tabernacle in the wilderness to start being built. And this was the dwelling place for God, for the Israelites, when they were out there in that wilderness. And so in my Scofield Bible, it actually heads this chapter, the order of worship pending the building of the tabernacle. But I want to read, we'll kind of skim through this chapter as we preach tonight, but I just want to read the first two verses, and then we'll get into the message. I'll give you the title. We'll read these first two verses and pray and get into it tonight. Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for Old Bethel Baptist Church. Thank you for the pastor. Thank you for the people, Lord, that come faithfully. And I pray that you'll touch us tonight. God, I'm thankful for the opportunity. Thankful for the truth, God, that I hold in my hand. I'm so thankful that you've preserved your word for us tonight. And I ask you to touch your people tonight. I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, Lord. I pray that your message would be heard tonight. I pray that you'd just put me out of the way. Let us not say anything more or anything less than what you have for us tonight, and we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen and amen tonight. So just by way of introduction, I'll remind us kind of where the Israelites have been up to this point. The Israelites, they've been delivered from Egypt now. The Egyptians have been destroyed in the Red Sea. And then the Israelites, they've faced a dehydration out in the wilderness. They brought accusations against Moses back in chapter number 17. They accused him of bringing them out in the wilderness to die. They said that they'd rather go back and be enslaved in Egypt because they were seemingly brought out to the wilderness just to die of dehydration. They had no water to drink, so they brought accusations against Moses, and now they've come to the desolate wilderness of Sinai. But thanks be unto God that someone, this being Moses in this case, someone still had a direct line of communication with God out in the wilderness. I'm thankful today that you and I, when we find ourselves in a wilderness, when we find ourselves in a dry place, in a low place, in a desolate place, someone still has a line, a direct line of communication to God the Father. And that may be that you may have that, but it oftentimes seems in those wildernesses, in those dry places, that you don't have that direct line of communication. But I'll tell you tonight that someone is praying for you. Your pastor may be praying for you, your parent, your child. Somebody's got a direct line, if you're a child of God, of communication to God when you find yourself in the desolate wilderness out in this world. So first off, there is a call to come. We'll find in the very first verse there, he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord. Come up unto the Lord. So first off tonight, there's a call to come. And underneath this, we see that it's a call to many. It is a call to many, because we see that he says, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, 70 of the elders. So there was many called to come up and to worship. So it was a call to come, it was a call to many, and it was a call to worship. But he said to worship ye afar off. He said, worship ye afar off. But then in verse 2, we'll find Moses alone shall come up near to the Lord. And so we find in this call, a call to many, a call to worship. But then we'll find in verse number 2, a call to one. A call to one. This was a personal call. I'll give you the title tonight is, Let God Consume You. Let God consume you. There's a call to one. This was Moses' personal call, to come up and be near to the Lord. And you'll notice if you study through this, what took place because of that call, because of Moses, because of that time of communion with the Lord, because of that time of closeness with the Lord, just by one man that was called up to be near to the Lord, just that one man being obedient, that one man going up and getting just as close as he could get to God and fellowshipping with God, communing with God, worshiping God all alone, just him and God. The house of God was built. The house of God. When Moses went up, and we'll find, you'll see this throughout this chapter and maybe the next. We won't get into the next tonight, but you'll see that God began to give Moses the law that he couldn't keep. But he also gave Moses the pattern for the tabernacle where God would dwell with his people. The place that God would dwell among his children. And it says that he desired to dwell among them. This was in the very midst of them. He didn't want to be behind them. He didn't want to be in front of them, but he wanted to be right there in the middle of his people, dwelling among them. And we see in this chapter the order of worship pending this build, as it's noted here in the Scofield version. And so there was an order, and I found lately, as of late in some of my studies, that God really deals with things in some order. God has an order of things. He set things up in an order, and He's got a specific order for each and every one of us tonight. He's got a specific duty for you. He's got a specific way to carry out that duty. If you look in Leviticus and in Exodus, you'll find different offerings there, and you'll see that there was an order. There was a specific way that God wanted these things to be done. In the building of the tabernacle, you'll find that there was specific instructions. There was specific materials, that everything God does in specifics and particulars and in order. And oh man, it's such a beauty. I hope that maybe if you don't get anything else out of tonight, that you'll get a hunger and a thirsting to study that tabernacle in the wilderness. Every aspect of it points to Christ. It'll help you get a better understanding of who Christ is. It'll help you get a better relationship with Christ. It'll help you desire to learn more about the Lord. So the house of God was built from this call to one. And then our second point we'll find out of verse number 3 tonight. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. There's a common goal. First, there was a call. Now we see a common goal. The people answered with one voice. There was unity with the people. This is a picture of the church. To be like-minded, one accord, fellowshipping with one another. Have unity with one another. You've got to say you're serving the same God. We're serving the same God, and we've got the same goals. And here we'll find that they answered with one voice. There was a common goal. So what was this common goal that we see here with their unity and with the one voice that they answered with? The common goal was to be obedient. They answered with one voice and said that they would do all that the Lord had said. See, Moses went and spoke to God, God spoke to Moses rather, and he came back and Moses told the people, look, this is what God wants. This is what the Lord wants us to do. This is how it's going to happen. This is how we laid it out. He gave them all that God had given him, and they said, we'll do it. They said, yes, sir. They said, all that the Lord has said will we do. So there was a common goal to be obedient, but to who? To God. All the Lord had said will we do. There was a common goal to be obedient to God, but also notice to the man of God. Obedient to the man of God. They said all the Lord had said will we do, but I noticed that they answered with one voice, and it took me a while to see this. I thought, well, did they all lift their voices at the same time? And so it was as one voice, but I believe they all got together and they said, all right, this is what God wants for us. All right, is everybody on board? Let's pray. Let's get our hearts right. Let's get everything out of our lives. Let's get it together. God, look, this is what God wants. Can we all agree that we're going to stand up and serve God? That we're going to come together in unity, that we're going to be of like mind and of one accord, and we're going to serve God no matter what. And everybody said, yeah, we'll do it. One man went and told the man of God, all the people are in agreeance. We're all together in this. Yes, we're going to serve God. Versus someone coming and saying, you know, preacher, you know, man of God, I don't know about this. I don't know about what about this and what about that. And just a bunch of people coming at the man of God. Yeah. And rattling him and shaking and having him worried himself. Is this what? They had respect. They were obedient to the man of God. Amen. They were all together. They were all unified. They were in agreement. They were obedient to God and said that, yes, we'll do this. And they were obedient and respectful towards the man of God. And they said, all right, we're going to weed everything out ourselves. And then we'll come to the man of God. Yes. All that the Lord said, we'll do it. And there was another common goal here that we find in the middle of this with the obedience. That's growth. Growth. They had a common goal to grow because obedience produces growth. Obedience produces growth. If we're obedient to the Lord tonight, we'll grow in the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter number 28, read a few verses here. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Growth comes from being obedient to God. If you and I want to grow tonight spiritually, there's going to have to be some obedience. We're going to have to submit ourselves to God, because growth comes from obedience. And so the people here tonight, they had a common goal to grow together as a unified people. They wanted to grow in the Lord. We'll find in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. So this is a new born again believer, just recently saved, and they ought to desire the word of God. They need to desire that milk of the word, because it's in that newborn stage that milk is what's going to make them grow. I've got a little one back there, a little over a year and a half now, and he's eating like I do now. But when he was first born, when he was that newborn babe, he needed milk, and he would let you know when he wanted some milk. And help us tonight as Christians to let it be known that we need to be fed. Let it be known that we need some milk. But can I say that if you've been in this thing a while and you're still on the milk, we need some help tonight. Because as you get older, as my son's gotten older, he needs more than milk. He needs more than milk. We find in 1 Corinthians 3:2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Help us not to be found in this place where the man of God can't feed us the meat because we're immature, because we've not grown, because we've not dug, because we've not prayed, we've not studied. We're carnal minded and we can't take the meat because we can't chew on it, because we don't have any teeth, because we've not grown, we've not matured, because maybe it was when we were newborn, we didn't get enough milk. Maybe we got away from the meat. Once we got to that point, we could start partaking some mashed potatoes. Help us tonight to grow in grace. The people had a common goal to grow. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Help us tonight. And I don't know if there's any recently born again Christians in here tonight. If there is, I say praise God. Thank the Lord, because it's a blessing to see them still getting brought in. It's a blessing to see them still getting saved. It's a blessing to put out some milk because there's a new born again believer. But can I say, help us God tonight not to get stuck on the milk. Help us to grow. There was a common goal to grow amongst the people. Moving on to verse number 4. Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice there's care in the work. There was care in the work. He wrote, if you begin to study your Bible, you'll find importance in the smallest words. Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. He didn't leave anything out, preacher. He didn't leave out a jot or a tittle. All the words of the Lord. There was care taken in that word. He didn't want to miss a single dot. He didn't want to miss a cross. That's pretty good. He didn't want to miss a cross. All the words. There was care taken in that. But then he rose up early. We don't get up early for stuff we don't care about. We get up early for those things that we care for. We get up early to go out there and work because we care about our family and we want to provide for them. We want to meet the needs. We get up early on Sunday morning and come to Sunday school because we care about the preacher. We care about the Sunday school teacher. But above that, we care about God and we want to get fed. We get up early for those things that we care about. I get up early for coffee because I care about my coffee. We get up early for those things that we care about. Notice that Moses, he rose up early in the morning. But he didn't just get up and get a cup of coffee. He got up and worked. He built an altar. There's care in the work, not only because he rose up early, but because he built it with his own hands. He built it with his own hands. And we all know that those gifts that people give, that they made with their own hands, if we'll be honest tonight, sometimes those are the ones we go, hey, you could have done better than that. I'm being honest. But the care that that person took to make that gift means more than the one that had the extra money to go out and buy something. Just take a couple minutes, run in the store, grab it, and get on the way. But someone who took time to build it with their own hands, put in the sweat, put in the labor, put it, and the material. Have y'all tried to build something here lately? Material ain't cheap. There was time, effort, money, labor spent. There was care in the work. And then he shows care in building it with his own hands. But that also evokes more care. Because when you build something with your own hands, when you put that work into it, when you put that effort into it, it causes you to care more about it once it's finished. He evoked more care in putting that work forth. If you'll put in the work for God, if you'll care enough to put the work in initially, He'll just keep feeding that care. It will grow because you've invested in something. And I don't want this to get out too far the wrong way, but if you put time into it, that care is going to grow. You put time into God, that care for God's going to grow. That love for God's going to grow. That love for God, man, going to grow. That love for God's word is going to grow. If you'll put in some time, put in the effort, put it, get up early in the morning, rise up early, get your cup of coffee, but then get on your knees or get in your study and spend some time with God because you care. There's care in the work. We'll jump down to verse number 7 and get our fourth point tonight. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. There's that obedience. I'm just going to give you a few points and we'll kind of go ahead and get to the ending of the message tonight. So there was a covenant to keep. And I understand we're no longer under the law, thank God, but we're under grace. In a new dispensation, we're under grace tonight. I'm so thankful for that. But here there is a covenant to keep. But can I say that there's still some things today in 2025 that God wants you to keep. There's still some laws, if you will. There's still some regulations. There's still some things to keep from. And there's still some things to keep on. There's a covenant to keep. And then we'll find in verse number 8, Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. Thank God for a blood-sprinkled people tonight. He said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. We find there is a covering of blood. And tonight, I'm thankful that I've been covered, not in this blood, but in the New Testament blood, in the blood of Jesus Christ, praise God, that there is a covering of blood tonight. And if you've not met the Lord Jesus tonight, there is a covering of blood for you, crying out, calling your name. Back here in the Old Testament, we find that there's sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. And this may be cliche, you may have heard it before, but the altar in the Old Testament cried, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. But then in the New Testament, once the Lamb was slain, once the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross and shed His blood, the altar cried, satisfied, satisfied, satisfied. And I say tonight that I am satisfied in the Lord. I've not lived one single day since I was saved in 2020, April 12th, in the graveyard behind Lighthouse Baptist Church on the side of 280. I've not lived a single day not satisfied. I'm a satisfied customer of the Lord Jesus tonight, and I know hard times. I spoke a little bit about that this morning at Brother Bill's, going through, you know, some hard times, some low times, some valleys and things of that nature. But I'll just give you this morning the message was, when a handful is enough. I've not found a time through my Christian life that a handful wasn't enough, and I've not found a time that I didn't have a handful. God has been good to us. Thank God that there is a covering of blood, and He didn't just cover us and leave us. But He's with us every step of the way, thank God. Amen. There's a covering of blood, praise God. Verse 11, tonight, and upon the nobles of the children of Israel, He laid not His hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. There's communion with God. There is communion with God. What a sweet, oh my goodness. You and I are so unworthy tonight. I speak for myself. I'm so unworthy tonight to commune with a holy and righteous God. So unworthy tonight to have one-on-one fellowship with Him as Moses did. So unworthy tonight to be able to come with my little requests, my little needs to a big God. There's communion with God. They sat and ate with Him. They drank with Him. Oh, preacher, there's coming a day that we're going to sit at His table. We're going to eat with Him and we're going to drink with Him. But can I tell you today that while we're still here, we can sit down and eat and drink with God. We can sit down and fellowship. We can sit down and commune with God tonight if we'll get to that place, if we'll get to that nearness like Moses did. And I believe that there's reason that Moses was the one that was called up there, because he knew that he could trust Him. He knew that he had fellowship with Him. He knew that he had communed with Him before. He knew that he was the man that he could entrust to carry the people through. And I understand some things fell out of the way there with Moses, but that's not what we're preaching tonight. But he knew that he could. Hey, every one of us slips up from time to time. Every one of us falls short from time. Every one of us is going to fail somewhere. I don't want to beat him up tonight. There's a communion with God. And then in verse 12, there's a command to stay. The Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. Just be there. Sometimes that's all we need to do, church. Just be there. Just stand. Just be there. He called him to come up and said, just be there. Just stay. Just stick. Just stand by the stuff. Just stand on the promises of God. Just stand on the truth. Just be there. So many of us are lacking today on just being there. And if you'll just be there, God will do the rest. God will take care of the rest if we'll just be there. Thank God. There's a command to stay. He said, come up and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. He blessed. That's a blessing that he may teach them. God gave the man something to go and feed and teach his people. And I'll just say this tonight. God didn't call your pastor to preach for him. God didn't call me to preach because there's anything special about me, but He calls men of God to preach because He cares about His people. Because He loves His people. And I understand as preachers, we're His people and He loves us. But can I tell you tonight that there is not one thing special about me why God called me to preach, nor your pastor, but God loves you. God loves His people so much that He calls a man to labor and to feed them and to give the people what God has given him. God loved these people so much that He put Moses to work so that the people could be fed. Then we'll find there is a calm of the cloud. Jumping over to verse number 15 and 16. I'll be finished up here in a few moments. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. There was a calm of the cloud. And, you know, we have those services where it's just like a thick cloud. Now, sometimes it's high, sometimes it's shouting, sometimes it's praising, sometimes it's glory. But sometimes that thick cloud just comes and sits down. And it's so sweet. It's so calm. And it's just the presence of God. And that's what we find here with Moses. That cloud covered the mount, and the glory abode upon the mount. That cloud covered it for 6 days, and Moses was just up there. And there's that cloud, there's that calm. The man of God's been down there with the people. He's been down there laboring. He's been down there working. He's been down there with the people telling them what God has for him. He's been down there doing his prayer. He's been down there building that altar. He's been down there laboring and working. And he goes up. And there's a sweet peace. The calm of the cloud. And lastly tonight, we find in verse 17 and 18, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up in the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire. Lastly, there was a consuming of the man. There was that calm of the cloud. Then there was a consuming of the man. First, we saw that there was a call. There was a call to come. There was a common goal. There was care in the work. There was a covenant to keep. There was the covering of blood. Communion with God, a command to stay, the calm of the cloud, but then there is a consuming of man. Moses went up. Moses was consumed by God at this point. He went up into the midst of the cloud. And you know, I begin to look, you'll find this word midst several times throughout your Bible, many times, I don't know, I wish I looked up the number, but you'll find that word midst often in your Bible and often in the Old Testament. And so I begin to kind of look into it, because you see in the midst of the sea, in the midst of the people, in the midst of the cloud, and it kind of ties back to the heart. Because it's the heart of something. It's the center. It's the foundation of it, if you will. And Moses went up into the midst, into the heart, if you will, of the cloud with God to fellowship and to commune and to be given that pattern for that tabernacle, because God desired to dwell among His people. Ain't that something, that God desired to dwell with a wicked nation? God desired to dwell with a wicked sinner like me. God desires to dwell with you and I tonight. His children, God desires to dwell with His people. And He called Moses up into the midst, into the heart, into the presence of God tonight. And that fire represents God, because it represents God's presence. It represents God's holiness, and it represents God's judgment, because it represents His presence, because God is a consuming fire. It represents His holiness, because fire can purify. If you look at how they refine metal, it's oftentimes heat's put to it, because that heat will separate those impurities from that metal, from that pure metal, from the substance that it's truly supposed to be. And you and I tonight, sometimes the heat is put on. Sometimes it's put on to get out those impurities. Sometimes it's a refining process to get out that which does not belong. So that fire represents God's presence and God's holiness, but it also represents His judgment, because it does pull out, because it does reveal, it does show those impurities that are found. And I'll tell you what, the metal we got today, I guarantee you, if I were to go and get a metal knife or a metal spoon out of my kitchen drawer, and I melt that thing down, there's going to be some stuff in there that's not the true thing. It's not truly what it's supposed to. It's not truly what it says on the box, if you will. And there's some of us today that we're not truly where we ought to be. We've not been purified. We've not been sanctified enough, if you will, tonight. There's some impurities, and we need the fire to be put to us tonight. We need to be consumed of God. You know, fire consumes things. If you throw a log in a fire, it is consumed. It'll lay there a little while, seemingly untouched, a few minutes. Then it'll catch, and it'll begin to spark a little flame of its own. It'll burn a little while. Start to see it change color. Start to see it shrink a little bit. Start to see it wither. Start to feel it get hotter. And eventually that log you put in there is just a little coal. But you know, the coal is the hottest part of the fire. Coal is the hottest part of the fire. If we'll let God consume us, He'll get all that wood off. He'll get all those shavings off. He'll get out all those impurities. He'll get out everything that doesn't belong. And He'll leave you a coal on fire for God. That heat, that fire shut up in my bones. God, let God consume you tonight. That's what happened with Moses when he was called up into that cloud, into the midst of the cloud there. He was consumed. He let God consume him that day. He was up there 40 days and 40 nights. That being consumed by God is not a slow process. It may just take one step to start it. You may just have to just take that one step to Him. Maybe a climb up a mountain and then a calling into the cloud. But then there's some time spent. So that log, depending on how much extra it's got on it, take a while before it's just a hot coal. Take some time. Take some heat. Take some hurt. But Moses, he went up. He was consumed by God. And then great things. Just from that one being called, being obedient, going up, he was given the pattern for the tabernacle where God dwelt with His people. And that tabernacle was a place where God's people could dwell with Him through the wilderness. Through the wilderness. They were able to be sustained because one man got near to God, got a pattern to build the tabernacle to sustain the people through that wilderness. And God, y'all probably know that they followed the cloud. There was a cloud by day and a fire by night. And there was still work being put in. When they had that tabernacle, they'd set it up and they'd take it down and move. When that cloud moved, when that fire moved, they'd set it up, they'd take it down. They were following God. They were able to do this because of that one man that got near to God. He accepted that call to go up. Accepted that call to come near to God, and he let God consume him. I'm done tonight, preacher. Let God consume you. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. God, I thank you for being that consuming fire where I need it in my life. Lord, I do pray that you touch your people tonight. God, I pray that you've helped them. Lord, I pray that maybe you'll call one tonight that's, maybe you've been dealing with them. Maybe you've been tugging on them to do something for you tonight. God, I pray that this would be just what they needed tonight to let you consume them. God, I pray that you'd help me, God, to let you consume me, Father. I pray that you'd use me as you desire, as you see fit. God, consume me tonight. God, I pray that you'd help, Old Bethel Baptist to allow you to consume them. Touch the pastor tonight, God, allow you to consume him, consume the church tonight, God. May we be a people that would go on for you, and that would allow you to consume us in every aspect of our lives, God. Help us to give ourselves to you, give our hearts to you, our homes to you, our families, all that we have, God. Help us to let you consume us tonight, for we know it's your desire. Again, Lord, I pray that you'll have your will and your way, and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.